today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Dr. Dobson and his wife, Shirley, are off celebrating their 57th wedding anniversary. He'll be back again with us next week. This week, we're focusing on tips for improving your marriage as part of our 5-day marriage challenge. God wants your marriage to be all that it can be, and so do we here at Family Talk. In a recent survey, nearly 70% of married couples told us they want to be spending regular devotional time together. We want to help you make this happen. That's why this week we have dedicated each of our broadcasts to marriage. Today's guests are Sammy and Eva Rodriguez. Their devotion will be focusing on the role of a husband in a marriage. Sammy is the president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, which is the largest Hispanic Christian organization in the world. He's been featured on Fox News, NBC Telemundo, Christianity Today, and Univision. In addition, Sammy and Eva are both ordained pastors, and they minister at the New Season Christian Worship Center in Sacramento, California. Here now are Sammy and Eva Rodriguez on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Welcome to Family Talk. I'm guest host today, Pastor Sammy Rodriguez, here today with my lovely wife, Eva, of 27 years. Eva?
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Well, I am grateful indeed to Dr. Dobson, one of my heroes. Actually, Eva and I, we raised our 3 children, of course, primarily via the conduit of Scripture, but the auxiliary tangential data and materials that we applied stemmed out of Dr. Dobson's writings. So to a great degree, he helped us raise our kids. And for that, my friend, we are eternally grateful. And the great news is that they love Jesus. Jesus is the Lord and Savior of their lives, and they are committed to the centrality of Christ, the biblical truth, and changing the world with truth and love. So thank you, Dr. Dobson. I mean, Dr. Dobson and Shirley celebrating 57 years of marriage this week.
Love it.
Congratulations. We honor and respect and love you indeed. And we're here today to discuss the 5-day marriage challenge, and we hope you go online and check it out. Give it a try. Likewise, we have a devotional to share in a moment, taken from Jim and Shirley's book, the Dobson's book, Nightlight for Couples, a game changer indeed. Pick it up, engage it as expeditiously as possible. Let me read from the writings of the Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself. Powerful. I am called by God to love my wife as I love myself. To properly define the God-ordained role of husbands, there's no better place to turn than Scripture. The Apostle Paul instructs, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her, and here's a politically incorrect term in the 21st century, holy. Holiness matters. 1 Peter 1:16. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 28. Paul likewise tells us that the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Ephesians 5, 23. Now here's the bottom line of your responsibility as a husband. You are charged with the holy, loving leadership of your wife. Now that's counterintuitive to the morally relativistic plethora of information and, I would argue, indoctrination that takes place via the conduit of popular culture today. But it is biblical truth that can never and should never be sacrificed on the altar of political, cultural, or sexual expediency.
Amen.
It is biblical truth. There is an order, a biblical order. And there is nothing dictatorial or selfish in this prescription. Quite the opposite. Your love is to be so strong that it mirrors Christ's love for the church. So committed that you would, without any hesitation whatsoever, die to save her. That's powerful. And so powerful that it is undistinguishable from love of yourself. Now that's a challenge. Are you willing to die for your wife, husband? What a challenge. And what a privilege to join with God and in your wife in this holy partnership. And I, with all the the term would be accomplishment, may be a strong term. We know it's by the grace of God, in the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, by the grace of God, I am what I am. But every single accomplishment that stems out of the grace-filled work of Jesus that I have seen in my life, I am grateful to God for salvation, of course, through Christ. But it's through that partnership with my wife in this institution of marriage that we have seen the great fruit of ministry in family and in ministry, for that matter, because of the solid foundation that is Christ and my commitment and our mutual commitment to have a holy partnership. So, husbands, as it pertains to fulfilling your role as head of the house, if you commit yourself to holy partnerships, to a holy partnership with your wife, here it is, you will encounter blessings that are assured in Scripture like you have never imagined.
Amen.
So we want to have this conversation of what is a viable, biblical, Christ-centered partnership look like. And I want to begin this conversation about holy partnerships with a number of queries. And let me begin, and then Eva, respectfully, I'll pass the baton over to you. The first question would be, what has been my most shining moment as husband? Wow. That's 27 years of marriage. Eva may argue it may be when I gave her that amazing gift card, to a certain shopping department store. But that's not it. That's not it at all. My most shining moment as husband. I do believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's mine, right? So it's mine to determine. My shining moment. Throughout the experience challenges we have of our children, I think that would capture it. We have three children. And they are older now, 26, 23, and 20. And these kids were raised in the Lord. Notwithstanding, there's a reality out there. There are challenges that all of us, being Christian parents does not negate the fact that we go through difficult moments and that there are challenges that arise. Through life brings challenges and our way that we have to address. And my eldest daughter had a very difficult moment in her life that required grace and truth. And I would argue that in that very challenging moment in her life, a very personal moment in her life, the truth of God's word and the grace and love of a father stood exhibited in a way that today I have fully, and I say that not presumptuously, but it bears fruit, and she would agree, my daughter, a fully restored young lady, thriving for Christ, committed to changing the world around her for the glory of his name. Would I be wrong there?
You're 100% correct. That's exactly what I was going to say. Just, I don't have one exact moment, but seeing you have mercy and love at a moment when I didn't.
Wow.
Kind of things turned around, and I didn't have the mercy and the love I should have had. And to see you, that was a shining moment, seeing you have that mercy and that love when it was most needed and I couldn't do it, and you did it. So I believe that's one of the most shining moments we ever had as a husband. Also, the fact that you have learned to change, to be transformed, and to permit the Holy Spirit to change you and transform you. What I couldn't do, the Holy Spirit did. And to see you now where you're at today, and to be able to do everything you do, but always make family first. Family has always been priority. Our relationship has always been priority. You will cancel whatever event you needed to cancel. If I was sick, if I was hurt, if I was getting operated, whatever challenges will come about, you will always want to be there. Even when our daughter was going to give birth, you make sure you were there those days, their birthdays. All our kids' birthdays, our grandkids' birthdays, always there. So I think there's not just one shiny moment. It's been a transformation of shiny moments.
Well, thank you. And I should have asked you the question prior to my interjection there of with the response. But we had a moment, and maybe you want to reference it, without being particular about, by the grace of God, we've had the opportunity of serving in advisory roles at three different presidents of the United States. And just by the grace of God. And on one occasion, we received an invitation from the White House for a Christmas dinner. I may have been a private dinner. And what was my response?
No, I'm not going to go.
But there's a reason for that.
It was a holidays time, and my daughter was giving birth.
So we responded and said,
kindly,
you know, I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, it was not just one of those collective, let's have a big dinner celebration. It was more of a, we would love you and your wife to join us. And respectfully, of course, I was honored by that gracious invitation, but I responded with a respectful, we can't, because we have some other priorities. And the priority was my family. So, you know, by the grace of God, here's a question, Eva. Let me ask you, and be transparent here. Do you feel my love for you meets the scriptural idea?
100%. No question asked. Again, seeing the changes throughout our marriage, if you would have asked me this 10 years ago, right? 15 years ago, 20, the answer might have been different.
Why is that?
But permitting God to change you and the Holy Spirit to change you, now you are at the place where, yes, you meet every standard set by God in the Bible.
Well, do a comparative analysis of 15 years ago.
Well, 15 years ago, there was a lot more immaturity. There was a lot more anger. There was a lot more of not knowing how to deal with some situations compared to now, where some of the situations we talked about before, you would have reacted differently 15 years ago than how you reacted now. So seeing those changes.
You're saying I've evolved?
You have evolved, for sure.
Am I a better version of what I used to be?
A much better person. A much better person.
But what helped us grow? What did it?
Holy Spirit, seeking God, holy, living holy, just living life holy, and letting God be God in our lives, in our marriage, making God number one in our marriage, making ourselves priority as a couple before the kids and before anything else. It's God, us, and then the children. So the
in that order?
Prioritizing.
So it's not God, children, and then us?
No. It's God, us, and then the children.
I think that's critical for our audience to understand. Because it is Christ first, and what helped us grow and mature.
Evolve.
And what Eva references is the constant traveling, the trajectory of work and so forth. And there was a quick, immediate response. So 20 years ago, it would have been more of an immediate response team. Everything was done. The word she used was anger, but not in any abusive way, but more in just immediate response. Everything is black, white, and it merits a deliberate response immediately to bring about immediate change without dealing with the cause. There was an obsession with effects. Let's deal with the effects because of the lack of maturity.
Yeah.
And I would argue that the number one catalyst for growth emerged out of a commitment to really engaging God's word. Really engaging God's word. Daily devotionals.
Praying together.
Our marriage changed. We grew together in an evangelical church. We grew together in the faith, but we had challenges and obstacles raising our children, in life for that matter, health-related issues, whatever it may be, with our parents. And throughout all these obstacles, maturity took place via the conduit of a commitment, an affirmed commitment to Christ that's not just rhetorical or extrinsic. It's something that became something part of our daily lives. Beyond the religious practices, it became very relational, very authentic. Every single day, a devotion.
Keep ourselves accountable.
And mutual accountability.
Mutual accountability
about our prayer time.
Our prayer time.
About our time in Scripture.
Right.
It's prayer and it's Scripture. And it's really what the Apostle Paul would reference, and Eva alluded to it in a very articulate manner, living a life, as Paul would tell us to do in the book of Galatians, led by the Spirit. And what does that really look like in our actions, words, deeds, and thoughts, in the way that we engage with one another, in the way that we respect one another? So very powerful indeed. Thank you for that. Well, you have some questions for me.
Some questions for you. How do you feel about the responsibility God gives husbands?
It's an honor, but it's an honor that every single husband should, the word manage would not be sufficient, engage in with fear and trembling. The awesomeness of the responsibility, the awe of it, that I am responsible to a great degree for the safety and the protection of my wife. And I take that as a primary role. To be very forthright, I'm a pastor. I, by the grace of God, oversee a very large evangelical organization in the U.S. and around the world. and like Dr. Dobson, not to that degree, of course, but God has graced us with platforms of influence to have access to share Christ. All of that cannot compare as it pertains to my roles as Eva's husband. The biblical mandate expressed in Ephesians chapter 5, I take that responsibility seriously every single day. So, in a nutshell, as I wake up in the morning as a born-again believer, as a follower of Christ, I don't see myself primarily at first and foremost as a pastor or a preacher, a writer, an organizational leader. I'm a child of God created in his image, redeemed by the grace-filled work of Christ, and I'm a husband. And I would argue I'm a husband even before I'm a father.
All right.
I'm committed to my wife. My children will only be as strong as my marriage.
That's correct.
And I'm committed to serving my wife so together in our partnership, we can serve our children. I think many of us fall short when we make children our priority over the marriage. The marriage must trump, for lack of a better term,
be healthy.
Our marriage must be healthy for our children to be healthy.
That is correct.
So important indeed. You have another question for me.
How can I encourage you in this role?
Well, you can encourage me in this role by continuing to grow in Christ, to look and speak and express more the love of Christ. And you do that constantly indeed. And this strong term in 21st century, by serving the way you serve, and I serve you and you serve me, but your commitment to making sure that I'm living a holy, healed, healthy, happy, humble life. And I'll repeat that again. Mike, we call it the five H's. We teach this to our children.
And they know it by
heart. And now to our church, to our pastors, our leaders. By living a holy, 1 Peter 1:16, holiness matters. Integrity does matter. Doing the right thing. Doing away with every vestige of sin, everything that grieves God, that runs counter to Scripture, living a holy life. 1 Peter 1:16, a healed life. 1 Peter 2:24, healed from the past, from any and all failures in the past, healed from any moments in the past that may have caused great angst and consternation and pain. Holy, healed, healthy, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. In the Greek, that word is holistic in every aspect of your life. Happiness, and not as the quintessential metric of your marriage, but yes, you should have a happy marriage through Christ, in Christ, John 15:11. And humble. Now, what's a humble marriage? That's a 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 marriage. What does that mean, Pastor Samuel Rodriguez? Where your marriage is so blessed that it can bless other marriages. I want my children to look at us and to say one day, when they get married, one of them is already married, and she expresses this already, constantly. If she always expresses, if my marriage can be just like your marriage, I will be the happiest woman on the planet. There's nothing more affirming than your children saying, if we can have a marriage like yours, wow, what an example. I mean, really? No award, no accolade externally can ever compare to your children desiring to have a marriage like mom and dad's because of Christ. So I am blessed by that indeed. I hope and pray that this time together has blessed you. Again, let me go back to that holy, healed, healthy, happy, humble rubric. We live in difficult times. Arguably some of the darkest moments in world history. We live in a time of great moral relativism, cultural decadence, and spiritual apathy. This is the right time to shine the light of Christ. And we can do that. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. We are the light of the world, and a city on a hill cannot be hidden. We can turn on the light through our marriage, through our relationship. Samuel Rodriguez as husband, Eva Rodriguez as wife. In our marriage, via the conduit of our families, we can turn on the light. And every single time light stands next to darkness, light always wins. So it begins at home. It begins in our family. It begins in our corresponding marriages. I wrote a book called Be Light and another book called When Faith Catches Fire. I respectfully would encourage you to pick up those books, Be Light and With Faith Catches Fire. There is a similar thread embedded in both corresponding publications, which is this idea of the centrality of Christ, of letting the light of the grace and truth and love of Christ shine in us and through us. Nothing is beyond the redemptive work of God. And I leave you with this for you to ponder upon in your marriage and collectively as we advance the cause of Christ through family and our children and our marriages. One, today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. Do not be complacent in your family. Do not be complacent in your marriage, with your spouse, with your children, or as a follower of Christ. Two, you are what you tolerate. You really are what you tolerate. As children of God, as children of light, committed to Christ, there are things that we have the authority to address with truth and love. Do not tolerate anything that is not affirmed in God's word. Three, there is no such thing as comfortable Christianity. As Christians, we're not called to be comfortable. We're called to live lives of conviction. Convicted lives.
Amen.
Lives of truth. And that's where we stand committed to making sure our children and our children's children will experience the grace-filled work of Christ and will likewise have healthy marriages and families. Number four, never sacrifice truth on the altar of political, cultural, or sexual expediency. In your marriage, in your family, in your interactions, never sacrifice truth on the altar of expediency under any circumstance whatsoever. And number five is stand committed without any doubt in all of your actions, words, deeds, and thoughts, in your marriage, in your family, stand committed to living that holy, healed, healthy, happy, humble life. My marriage is a rich marriage, is a blessed marriage because of Jesus, because we're committed to making sure Christ is the center of our home and our family, and just hearing from His Spirit through His Word every single day.
As we close, I would like to share a little bit with all the women that are listening. I'm going to tell you, do not give up. Do not give up on your marriage. Do not give up on your husband. The Holy Spirit will work in him. There's things you cannot change him. Don't you try to change him. Let God, the Holy Spirit, be the one to change him. I try many times to change my husband. I try many times, and I would just get frustrated, and I would want to run away, and you know, would say, you know, he's never going to change. You know, I'm just going to stay in this marriage, but he's never going to change. Guess what, ladies? He did change, because there is a God. There is a God in heaven that's listening to your prayer, and your prayer will be heard. Just take it easy, relax, pray, be Christ. Show him Christ throughout this process. Don't get upset. Don't get mad. Show Christ in everything you do, and that man will have to change. When he sees the change in you, he will have to change. Because he'll have no one else to fight with, have no one else to be mad with. So he'll realize she is a changed woman. And if she was able to change, I'm able to change. So it all begins with you. You change, you pray, you fast, you ask the Holy Spirit to speak into his life. And I guarantee you 100%, if you do not give up, if you stay firm, if you read the word of God, you believe the word of God, if you make God priority, not your children. If you make God priority, your husband priority, he will change. And you will have an absolutely amazing marriage. I guarantee you that. You will have an amazing marriage. Hold on, ladies. Don't give up. Don't give up. In Jesus' name.
It has been a privilege and an honor indeed. This is Pastor Samuel Rodriguez once again, reminding you that way beyond cultural, generational realities, the ways or the means by which you were raised, ideas that you saw in your home setting, like I did in my home setting, there is something that transcends all of that. The truth, the grace, and the power of God expressed via the conduit of Christ. We appreciate everything that our spouses do for us. I am grateful for the most amazing wife on the planet. And together we stand committed for the glory of Jesus to doing nothing less than shining the light of Christ.
Amen.
And changing the world. May the strength of the Father, the grace of the Son, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit accompany you as you thrive in your marriage for his namesake. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Sammy Rodriguez and his wife Eva discussing the role of a husband in a Christ-centered marriage here on this special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and for Dr. Dobson today, each day this week, we've invited some dear friends who are experts in the field of marriage to join us in the studio, walking us through a series of devotionals designed to strengthen your marriage. Topics like communication, overcommitment, expectations, intimacy, and more. After you hear these programs, you have the opportunity to work through these same devotionals with your spouse as well. You can sign up to take the 5-Day Marriage Challenge when you go to drjamesdobson.org/challenge. On our broadcast page, we also recommend you check out the classic devotional book called Nightlight for Couples by James and Shirley Dobson. This helpful resource is the basis for the devotional material we're featuring this week. If you're enjoying these devotionals, you'll find more of this kind of inspiring material in the book Nightlight for Couples. Learn more when you go to drjamesdobson.org. Be sure to join us again tomorrow when we continue our 5-Day Marriage Challenge featuring a conversation on overcommitment in marriage with Josh and Christy Straub. That's next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.